The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Pro Football Hall of Famer and former Buffalo Bill Andre Reed. You're listening to Nate and the Fellas on Circle the Wagons podcast. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo. Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
All right, everyone. Welcome to this recap episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and this episode is brought to you by the TwinSpires Sportsbook at DeLago at the DeLago Resort and Casino in Waterloo, New York. The Bills beat the Chargers tonight. What was it? 24-22. Just barely. Nail biter for this one. It was just a lot of emotions. We're going to talk about all those emotions today. We're going to give our thoughts on the game, stats of the game, Sweet Sassy Molassie plays the game, Wall of Fame and Wall of Shame nominees, and maybe some hot takes from Twitter if we have enough time. But first, I'd like to welcome my co-host, Mike, to the podcast. Mike is recording all the way at a remote location. So thank you for doing this, Mike. Thanks for taking the time out of your holiday weekend because John was too chicken shit to do it. So how's it going, man? How's your holidays?
I'm doing good. Thanks. Good to be with you. Did that last play give you PTSD flashbacks to the Music City catastrophe? It was like the same camera, wild camera pan to the sideline.
The same, like the Chargers were going from right to left, and so were the Titans in that game, right to left. Oh, yeah. And that perfectly thrown pass across the field. And you're like, oh, my God, is anybody over
every
there?
Every offensive lineman was like perfectly lined up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm like, that whole end of the game gave me PTSD of just like this season and then the Music City catastrophe. Yeah, all those things. I'm like, the Bills don't usually win those games this season. Everything going back. And were you surprised they won it all? Or were you thinking that they were going to pull it off?
No, I am not surprised they won. This is a team of destiny.
If this is a team of destiny, then obviously they were going to pull it off at the way. So we were talking about in the Twitter space. You were thinking the Khalil Shakir play, were you hoping that he got down so the Bills could run out clock, or were you like, man, maybe a touchdown would be nice here? Like,
either way, it was just celebrating that they got the first.
They got the first, right? So I
think it worked out for the better.
It did because Ed Oliver ended up sacking Easton Stick for like that play, and then you don't think about it because I'm like, oh, they're just going to spike the ball and it's just going to, you know, but then you forget, like Collinsworth is saying, like, there's going to be all those receivers are like 40 yards downfield, so they have to run all the way back. And I've never had that happen. Like, the Bills never get a sack in that situation. Never. I can't remember. Like, they barely get pressured in those situations. You know, usually it's like an easy 22-yard pass.
Usually they rush like six and nobody gets anywhere.
nobody gets home. That one. Or they rush two and still nobody gets 6-5-4-3. It doesn't matter. Nobody gets the pressure on the quarterback. Yeah. I mean, you have to get the. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, this is my first experience with Stick. Aren't you glad? Like, you never denigrate somebody for a name that they can't control, but aren't you glad your name is not Stick?
Oh, every day. Every day. Every day, aren't you?
Like, Branch is one thing. Stick.
I feel like Stick would be a better first name than second name, but I guess, like, because people would think, oh, that's his nickname. People just call him Stick.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you'd have to be like a tall, thin guy. You could never be like a big fat guy.
Like,
you
could never you could be a big fat guy. Like, it's ironic.
It would be ironic. Then it would just
like
be
tiny.
Even
better.
What was that guy's name in Robin Hood? Little John, right? Little John, ironically.
I was going to say which Robin Hood, but I guess that would be all the Robin Hood.
I think
it was never in doubt to me. Like, this is like, remember Back to the Future and like, I'm your destiny. That's what it feels like to me. They're just on a roll.
I was going to quote another Back to the Future quote. It's like, why do we always have to get these things so damn close? Is that the line? You always know the line. That's your line. Why do we have to cut this so damn close? Is that what it was? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Back to the Future. We're both thinking Back to the Future, man. It's so funny because this game, the Bills could – it's such a week-to-week transactional league, right? Like, last week we were riding a high because the Bills beat one of the hottest teams in the NFL. This week, the Bills, like, played down to the level of, like, a team that
– but you were talking last week how teams always get jazzed up when they fire the coach.
Always, always.
It's like, we got nothing to lose. We're just going to go crazy.
And then when your team turns the ball over three times and the other team doesn't, then like that also you're like they have nothing to lose, right? Like, absolutely. It's not
a road win in December. Like, that's the crazy things you see week to week. Like, I'll take it.
I mean, the Chargers had a few things going for them. Obviously, had a lot of things going against them. The fact that Justin Herbert wasn't playing, the fact that Keenan Allen wasn't playing, like, they had things going against them. But they
I guess
also,
when you say it like that, that's a lot of things.
It's a lot of very important things. But you
It'd
know,
be like no Allen, no Diggs.
Yeah, I know. It's like, and the Bills.
No McTermott. No Bean.
It's Kyle Allen, right? Like, there's no way Kyle Allen would look nearly as good as Easton Stick.
Oh, my gosh. No way.
The Bills have, don't they have a tendency to make like these backup no-name quarterbacks look like have their best games? Like, who is this guy? This guy could be someone, right? Like, this guy.
Someone will way overpay for him based on this.
Based on this game. Like, they'll be from like teams that you never heard of or ever watched. Like, this will be like Appalachian State quarterback, you know, Easton Stick or whatever. And you're just like, oh, this is like a Division III quarterback, but he was really good in Division III. But he's like 5'7", but like, it doesn't matter because he tore up the Division III, crush it, like, lights the Bills up. I was going to give, you know, Sweet Sassy Malassi plays the game. Kind of a weird way to start, but like, you have to give it to Ed Oliver on that sack that basically ended the game for, because I mean, if that sack doesn't happen, I mean, if the Chargers are within 60 yards of getting a field goal, I mean, you have to imagine that guy's going to kick one through, right? I mean, he had already gotten five field goals on the night and they were all like 40, 50 plus. So like, that was, in my opinion, the play of the game, like Ed Oliver's sack, right? To stop them and really force it to be a lateral play as opposed to like, we can get there, we just need to spike the ball and kick a 63-yarder. I think the Bills might lose that one. But Mike, what do you think about that play where it was 3rd and 8, the Bills are driving down to get into field goal range, and Diggs had that great catch where like Allen puts it right where he can catch it. Like, that's my honorable mention for Sweet Sassy Malassi plays the game, because that kept the sticks moving. It kept the Bills within, you know, striking distance. So Tyler Bass didn't have to kick a 55-yard field goal or whatever, because honestly, this season, I don't trust him to do that, to win a game. So
yeah, no doubt it was a huge play because it took so much time off the clock too. It would have taken more off if Cook would have went out of bounds with like 250 maybe. Like, and I kind of, is that McDermott? Is that, I mean, I wouldn't put it on the player unless he was told immediately before taking the handoff. But it seemed obvious, I think, to everyone, you want to burn 40 seconds more at that point.
Oh, 100%. And what did he do it for?
And he was like fighting to get out.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. He could have been gone down. I'm like, oh, well, we'll keep going if you think you're going to make like the first down or something. But if you're just going to get two more yards and it's going to be second and six instead of second and eight, absolutely stay in bounds, right? Like, that's a no-brainer. I thought that was one of his three mistakes on the game. Like, he fumbled twice.
But I feel, don't you think that's coaching? That should be somebody telling him, like, hey, if you can break it, break it. But if you're going to the outside, just
stay in bounds. Well, it felt like everyone else knew that. Like, everyone else on the team, like Khalil Shakir or whatever, like, they knew to stay in bounds. It was just him. So, I mean, yeah, you could probably hang that on coaching. I'd probably put more of that on James Cook, though, just because, like, he's been playing for so long. How do they not know that?
It wasn't, like, 30 seconds to go or anything like that with two minutes two plus and, like, minutes. 50 seconds. Yeah, that's too much for the player, I think.
Someone's got to be, because it's a little bit of an iffy area. Like, you got to know. Okay. All right. Yeah. I could see that being a coaching issue.
I thought that was the biggest mistake for McDermott. Don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I liked how he came in at the very last play when he called a timeout in the lateral play to, like, remind him of all those things that, like, Chris Collinsworth was kind of going over with, like, you know,
but isn't that so obvious? Like, it's the last play of the game, one way or the other.
We're just talking about being so obvious, though. It felt like, I honestly thought it was pretty obvious that James Cook should have stayed in bounds on there, right? Like, that felt like they were trying to run clock. Like, it felt like that was obvious to me that they were trying to, like, because you're either trying to do one of two things at that time. You're either trying to go as fast as you can to score as fast as you can so you could possibly get the ball back somehow, or you're trying to run off clock. Like, there's only two different areas when you're down by one and you're driving, right? Like, this. One of two things. So, but yeah, like, to not get past interference, to not do the dude. What do you think, real quick? I just mentioned Collinsworth. How disappointing is it that there's another Collinsworth waiting in the wings to become part of, like, Sunday Night Football or primetime football or whatever? Did you see him?
No,
he was.
I thought you were. This was a joke.
No, he came out at halftime. He's got to be like Collinsworth's son or something. And he was just, like, talking with Tony Dungy and who's the other Patriots defensive back that
is this comes. One of the times when they said, like, hey, we're not going to do any commercials, and it's all just, like, commercials for themselves.
I think it was just I don't think it was during that time. I think it was before that time, but I think it was halftime, like, they were coming back from a commercial, but they hadn't, you know, the teams hadn't taken the field, so, like, they'd done all their commercials. They took it back to the studio to do some highlights. Now they're coming back to the field, you know, before they hand it back to, like, Chris and Mike Tirico. Like, they're talking to these three guys, right? What are your thoughts on the field, you know? Oh, you know. And I was just like, this guy talks just like Chris Collinsworth, except he's, like, 25 years younger. I know. I'm like, we don't need more of this. Like, of all the, I said this on the Twitter space. I'm like, of all the players, of all the broadcasters to have sons to, like, take over, why couldn't it be like Tony Romo's son? Or, like, you know, I'm trying to think of other, Bob Costas' son. I mean, Joe Buck's son, anyone pretty much over another Collinsworth. You know, this nepotism, man. Why does it have to be this nepotism? But anyway, not to get too much off track. Dude.
I'm trying to think of a good nepotism.
A better one or, like, a worse one?
Just one I would want to see.
Oh, Bob Costas. I mean, I love Bob Costas. If he had, like, a son or daughter that was in broadcasting, that'd be amazing. But, I mean, just in general.
Yeah. Who do you think is good?
In broadcasting?
And no,
in life, in anything. Oh, geez, not even.
I think Brad Pitt's a good actor. If there's a Brad Pitt Jr., I would check him out. I'd give him a try.
Yeah, yeah. You know, arts is one of the few things where, like, there's no nepotism involved. Like, if you're an artist, if you're a good artist, like, you can't just be like, oh, my son's also an actor. But if he sucks, like, he's not going to last because they're not going to, you know, like, there's no nepotism in the grand scheme of things of, like, arts and sports. Of course, like, you know, you might consider sports an art, but, like, just because Michael Jordan has a son doesn't mean he's going to be good at basketball. And they're not like, oh, let's keep pushing Michael Jordan's son in for, like, till the NBA.
Is Michael Jordan's son still dating Scottie Pippen's wife?
Didn't they get married?
I don't know. That's got to be the weirdest thing, man.
That's weird on so many counts. Like, she's got to be, like, 25 years older than him. And, like, it's his son's. Oh, he might have married someone.
It might
young.
Be the exact same age.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea.
Jordan didn't seem like he was super tight with Scottie in the documentary. Just, like, they play together. Like, that's sometimes, the extent of it.
It's like you and me.
It's like you and me. It's like Mike and Mike, right? Like they spent like 20 years broadcasting, and then at the end of the year, they're like, we probably won't talk to each other ever again. Like, really? Yeah, this is...
They said that?
Yeah, yeah. They said they were like, they're like, you know, we get along, you know, good on the air and stuff, but like, it's just, we have different lives. We don't, you know, see each other a whole lot outside of the other thing. And you're just like, oh, well, it made it sound like you guys had like a friendship, you know, but yeah, Brad Pitt for sure. Oh, I love Brad Pitt. Leonardo DiCaprio, if you ever, you know.
Yeah, that would be the two.
If he ever has any children. yeah, I can't think of anyone else. They really enjoy it. But, you know, it's hard to think off the top of your head of people that you really enjoy.
No politicians.
No, the worst.
I mean, how come nobody good becomes a politician?
Nobody.
Oh, like the worst. Do you like anybody?
Nobody. Like almost. And this is Christmas time, right? Like you're supposed to think of find the best in people. Mm-hmm. There's very few people I like or respect. if we're really getting down to it, I feel like, you know, you were talking about Cynical Nate earlier. Cynical Nate says that there's very few people that live up to the expectations of them as a person, besides Trent Edwards, of course. Trent Edwards being a good guy. Great guy. But like, you know, there's just so few of them out there. We're probably one of the few left over if we're trying to be non-biased. Jon Stewart. I like Jon Stewart. He's funny.
Yeah. He seems like he's got his head on straight.
Seems like a nice guy. He just stands up for veterans. Like, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Can't be a bad thing. It can't be a divisive thing. I think veterans should get health care. Like, yeah, totally. Anyway, we're getting off topic. I couldn't think of something funny just then. But Wall of Fame in this one, Mike. I think I'm going to go with someone who I did not expect to have as big of a game as they did. But like when he shows up, he shows up. He either has 130 yards and a touchdown like he did tonight, or he has like one target and zero receptions this season. And that's Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis had an amazing game, deserves all the credit for having that. Four receptions on six targets, 130 yards, one touchdown, had that long 57-yard grab. And again, this is like the fourth game in a row where Stephon Diggs doesn't really show up. He has five receptions on eight targets for 29 yards. I don't know what's going on there. I'm thinking it's just game planning, but or it's just the way that the game is going. And it just doesn't lead to Stephon Diggs having more involvement. But when the Bills need to, and they're down by a lot, it'd be nice that he shows up, hopefully. Khalil Shakir, second leading receiver, three receptions on three targets for 45 yards. A good game by Khalil Shakir. Josh Allen.
What was the story with Fournette? I was thinking like Cook was sick. That's what we heard all week, right?
Yeah, that he had the flu.
And then Fournette gets activated. Like, what was the story there?
Excellent question.
Because I was excited to see, I mean, just it's going back years now. He still seems like he's been around a long time, but he was a beast in college in Jacksonville. I was excited. Like,
even in Tampa a little bit.
Really good signing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just was excited to see him get some touches and what he could do.
Yeah. I didn't see a whole lot from him. I mean, nothing that I saw from today's game that was like, This guy looks really good, but it must have been the illness. But at the same time, with the illness, why wouldn't you? I mean, Ty Johnson was inactive tonight, so that's why it was. Because I would have liked to see more Ty Johnson, obviously. But that must have been what it was. Ty Johnson was inactive tonight. Well, for whatever reason, they decided to make Leonard Fournette active. Why they had him returning kicks, I have no idea. You know, it wasn't like that's something that Ty Johnson normally does. So yeah. Mike, what do you put on your who do you put on your Wall of Fame? I put Gabe Davis. Who do you put there?
Oh man, Gabe Davis, man. Four receptions. The yardage is nice, but just so inconsistent. He'll have one great game, and then you won't see him for five.
So boom or bust, Gabe Davis. Yeah. Boom or bust.
Allen, week in and week out, like it's. We always used to have the debate, are you comparing him to other quarterbacks or to himself, right? Like kind of a mediocre, or I'll say average. Mediocre has a worse connotation, I feel, but like an average game for him, but two rushing touchdowns, one throwing the ball. I think it's a completely different game if he's able to complete that long pass to Diggs that got picked, right? Like, didn't you think that was going to be a touchdown when he was throwing it.
Oh, yeah. The way he scrambled out and made it and he chucked it downfield. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like he can make that throw. It just like took something off of it, I thought.
There were a few miscues with Josh and receivers tonight besides that pick. Like just in general, like he had some, when he did scramble out, he found some time and there were guys open. He just misfired. Yeah. I agree.
And not like to have Diggs and Knox and Kincaid, like just the playmakers and not getting the ball. And you got to put some of that on Josh, I think. And like what disappointed me this game the most is like certainly Cook's turnovers, like regressing from last week. Cause I was really hoping the Bills running game was going to hit their stride in time for January, you know, playoff time. And the offensive line to me really, I thought they were on the upswing and they seemed like they took a step back. So I'd have to go somebody on the defense and I guess Taylor Rapp, like 9 total tackles, 7 solo, like, and Ed Oliver. And I think Rasul Douglas continues to just be what an incredible move, you know, can't say enough about him.
Yeah. I love,
I'd go defense, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Defense. I love Rasul Douglas. I love that you brought him, dude. If you gun to your head right now, Mike, you can either keep Tre'Davious White or extend Rasul Douglas. Like, which one do you choose? You got to choose one of those two cornerbacks to, you know, to keep on this team for the foreseeable future. And you can't keep the other one.
What's the money?
Similar money.
Jeez.
Similar money.
Well, it's hard to envision Douglas. We couldn't have asked for anything more. So I guess given the uncertainty with White, as much as we're loyalty guys, like, I think you'd have to go Douglas.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I feel like they're the same exact age. You might even honestly be able to get Douglas cheaper in the grand scheme of things. So, I mean, he's taller. He's not that Tre'Davious White isn't physical, but he's just not an imposing presence like Rasul. I mean, Rasul Douglas, when he had that stick hit on Gerald Everett, the tight end, I mean, the guy was going for the touch, going in the end zone, and Douglas just stuck him right there, and he didn't move an inch past where he caught the ball. Like, that's not easy for Gerald Everett's a big dude. I love what Rasul Douglas. I mean, I love Tre'Davious White just with all the injuries and everything. Like, I mean, he seemed very hesitant coming back from that injury last time. I don't know how this one's going to go. So I mean, if you gun to my head, I got to choose between one of the two. And I think one of them is going to lead us to our Super Bowl. I'd probably give it to Rasul Douglas. Leadership, everything that's been mentioned about him, and he showed up for the most part. So I love that you brought up Rasul Douglas. The offensive line, if you were to give a wall of shame, Mike, besides turnovers, if you couldn't give it to just generally turnovers, I guess, I think I would give it to the offensive line. Not as many holes last week. I mean, like you said, we thought that they were trending upward. I mean, last week was the first time that I ever remember us trying to give a nickname to the Bills offensive line because they were good enough to deserve a nickname, right? Like the Bulldozers, or, you know, the
now buff. It would be a name to go the complete opposite way and be like Swiss cheese.
Yeah, wet garbage, like just
colander.
Swiss cheesecloth strainer, like I'm trying to think of other things with holes in them that are there for a purpose. But yeah, it was rough. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I think Josh Allen struggled tonight. He didn't have a great game. Like you said, like average, just because, you know, it was still a good game, but not anywhere near to his potential, including the interception. So, and I think some of that lies on the offensive line. So I'm going to give it the offensive line this week. Are you on that same train? It sounds like that was the most negative area or group or person that you're going to give that to. I mean, Von Miller is probably perpetually on the wall of shame just because, I mean, what are you doing out there?
He's like, you know, those signs that you always see, oh, sale today only. And then it's like painted on the wall. That's like Von Miller. Yeah. On the wall of shame.
You think you're actually getting something? You're really getting nothing out of it. Just a status quo. Not only did he not come back week one, which we didn't expect, he came back week 6, and we're at what, week 15 or 16 at this point? We just finished week 16. I don't see any difference between now and week 6. Like, it's like, okay, well, it's going to take some weeks to ramp up, whatever. Like, I haven't noticed it. Like, he could have been out this entire time, and I don't think I would have been. We probably would have been better off at this point. Mm-hmm. So, But yeah, if you're not going to give it to the offensive line, you know, Von Miller, it's always nervous seeing him on the field. I'm like, well, I guess we're just going to hope that they don't need a sack right now or pressure. So
it's like, even if the play is really extended, he's just like walking around aimlessly.
He's like we all were at work this last week. Like, you know how you're trying to do work, but you're just like going through the motions. Like, cause you don't want to, like, if you don't have a deadline or anything, like, you're not working your butt off for like after Christmas, like deadlines or after the new year, no one cares. You're just trying to get to the holidays. Right. So if it's like, you know, you just got to look busy. You're just clicking on the Excel spreadsheet over and over again. You know, people walk by your desk. You just got to look busy. Just got to look busy. Right. So that's Von Miller the past 10 weeks. I just got to look like I'm rushing the passer. I can't actually, you know.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Yeah. So, I mean, we mentioned Sweet Sassy Molassy plays the game. I gave you some quick stats there. Let's see if we have a few more stats. As far as the Charger side of the ball, real quick, Easton Stick, 23 for 33, 210 yards, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Give the guy credit. I mean, he did look pretty good against the Bills defense. Of course, the Bills defense is missing like 5 starters all the time, but like he still looked pretty good. Austin Eckler, 15 carries on 65 yards. Easton Stick did have that one rushing touchdown, 7 attempts. One thing I didn't like about it, I mean, the Bills obviously won. I felt like there were a lot of calls that went against the Bills that could have been called against the Chargers too, like holding, stuff like that. I was just thinking specifically of the Easton Stick touchdown. I'm pretty sure I saw Dorian Williams' helmet get like jerked all the way back when he was trying to tackle him. So a holding call didn't get called, whatever. You know, the thing I don't get about holding calls is, if you're going to call them one way, you have to call them the other way. Either you're going to be like a stickler for the rules and like every small thing's a holding call, or like you just let them play and you only call the egregious ones, right? Like don't call these ticky-tack ones against like Mitch Morris, right? And then like not call the blatant ones that the Chargers are doing, right? Like that really grinds my gears when that happens, you know? At least sticks in my craw. So I know a lot of Bills fans were feeling the same way. I saw it on social media. Leading receiver for the Chargers.
Oh, let me ask you this. How did you find someone's Peacock login, or were you sailing the high seas?
Someone was telling me on the Bills Mafia International Facebook page, like someone just streams it live from their TV every week. So worst case scenario, I was going to do that. But I found...
it'd be a broadcasting of a show, he'd probably be like 8 minutes behind by the time it bounces all over the world.
By the time it gets to the UK, yeah. Yeah, you'd think so. But no, what about you?
I saw like somebody posted that if you have a Chase card and then you sign up for Instacart and then use the Instacart sign up, you get a free Peacock subscription. So I jumped through all these hoops. And then went to the TV, like I was all like, yes, I got my email and my password, you know, Mike, go Bills, get to the TV. And there's already the Peacock app. My brother had already had it. God damn it.
He already had it ready.
I spent 40 minutes signing up for all this bullshit. Now I got to cancel Instacart, Peacock, Chase.
Chase, that's how they get you too, man. They just expect, I found out. my wife had an Audible subscription. She used it for one book in the free trial, and then she forgot that she had it. So, yeah, that's how they get you, man. I'm like, do you use Audible? It's like $15 a month. And she's like, I haven't used that since June. I'm like, what? But yeah, that's, yeah, so.
Dude, Audible is the worst because, like, most places, like, you hit cancel. And then you can still use your shit till your cancellation period. With Audible, it's like, nope, you don't get those credits. Even like if you've accumulated credits since June, and you're like, I just want to cancel, but I want to keep my 6 credits that I've accumulated. And they're like, no,
what?
Can't do that. Yeah.
Oh, that does suck. Yeah.
It's smart. That's Bezos, man. Not an idiot.
Yeah, no, he's no idiot, man. He's just like, nope, they don't deserve it. Cut him off. It's one of the reasons why, like, we talked a few weeks ago about, like, canceling your subscriptions, like, while you're on vacation, just so you can, like, get them back again for $1 a month or whatever it is, right? But then, like, you lose all your, like, favorites and everything you've watched, your profiles, and, yeah, smart. And be like, who? I don't remember you. Start over a new profile. Ah, but I've seen all these shows already.
Have you ever heard that Jeff Bezos song?
There's a Jeff Bezos song? You mean he wrote it?
Yeah, it's super catchy. I wouldn't put it past him. Like, but no, it's like a techno. It's like CEO entrepreneur born in 1964, Jeffrey Bezos, and all the stuff he's done, all the people he's better than, all the CEOs. It's real catchy.
Yeah. I got to check it. It's
you got to add it to your Spotify.
It's added to my Spotify. Jeffrey Bezos.
It's on everything. Yeah.
I have a Circling the Wagons, like Bill's Mafia tailgating playlist. I'll put on the Jeffrey Bezos song. It'll go from straight like Guns N' Roses AC/DC to like Jeffrey Bezos.
It's like kids in my family were like singing it, but then like you actually listen to their lyrics. You're like,
were you starting the
like,
song?
He's better than Warren Buffett. He's better than Elon Musk. He'd kill their wife.
The 4-year-olds are singing it as they're walking through the house. Did you introduce it to them, that song?
No, they introduced it to me.
Oh, really? Oh man, it's scary what kids have access to. Case in point, Jeffrey Bezos song. Let's see. So those were stats of the game brought to you by the TwinSpire Sportsbook at DeLago. Josh Allen had his 50th career rushing touchdown this evening. So James Cook became the first Bill to rush for 1,000 yards in a season since LeSean McCoy in 2017. So James Cook, like, having a career year for himself and also for the Buffalo Bills. One of their best in a long time.
But
go ahead.
It doesn't feel like that, given the turnovers.
No. That's why you couldn't give it to James Cook. That's why you couldn't give the Wall of Fame nomination to James Cook, because of the fumbles, right? The costly fumbles. He didn't look great.
But I was happy that he wasn't being punished and McDermott left him out there, because I'm like, oh, after last week, you got to just feed him. Mm-hmm. Let him get touches and he'll wear the defense down.
And then he fumbled it again.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh.
Yeah, but it didn't count or something like that. You're just like, what the hell? Isn't that so funny how we get on McDermott for like, oh, just feel like he's like putting him in the corner or something. Like, you know, he's in timeout, right? Like, he's not allowed to come back in. And then, like you said, like 6 or 7 weeks ago, he comes back in and he fumbles the ball right away. And you're like, well, maybe you should have put him in timeout for that. You know, like we're so quick to just shit on Sean McDermott when things don't happen or if like he does something and then he fixes it and we don't give him any credit for it. Like, you know,
none.
All we do is just like, you know, nail him to the cross when he's done one thing that's like we don't necessarily agree with. Not that it's wrong, but that we don't agree with. And then, you know.
Like, we see James Cook for like an hour once a week, and he sees him 60 hours a week.
Yeah.
Practice, film.
He's like, I've seen this script before. It's happened 100 times in practice. He fumbles once and he doesn't stop fumbling.
He's like certain people, like, if they sneeze once, it's 3 times. Never fails.
It's like they're like they got the hiccups. Like, man, he's got the fumbles today. He's just like, he won't stop. Once he starts, it won't stop. Sneezing.
Like, we get it, Tiffany. You all,
My wife so does. Annoying. My wife does a sneeze. She won't listen to this, so I can say it. My wife does a sneeze when she sneezes. It sounds like she's holding her nose and she's going like, and I'm just like, honey, you gotta let that just go out. You're gonna blow your eardrums out. Like, she's like, no, I'm not holding it. I'm just like, you gotta just let it go. Like, you're gonna give yourself
it's gonna come out somewhere.
It's gonna, like, we're getting, like, once we get older into our 50s and 60s, like, you're gonna get a stroke from that. Like, that's gonna be what ends you, just like holding it in. Like, do it, like, let it go now. Just blow it into your nose, do whatever you gotta do. It's, or into your hands or whatever. Just get it, go get a Kleenex. That would be preferable, but So yeah, those were stats of the game brought to you by the TwinSpire Sportsbook at DeLago. I guess there's no real Gettysburg of the game because, you know, we talked Sweet Stats Team last year. I mean, I guess the Gettysburg could have potentially been that Diggs third and eight catch on that final drive to keep the sticks going and get into field goal range.
You know what was a huge play is it was third and like a foot maybe. The Bills were on defense and the center for the Chargers. Remember, did that play that Jason Kelce got penalized for? Like, you sneak and move it up.
Yep.
That was
the false start. Yeah.
Awesome.
That was good to see.
God, I could see that happen to the Bills.
Yes. Yeah. Nice. How Mitch Morse hasn't been called for it, I don't know. You have Jason Kelce, one of the best centers in the league, like, get called for it. I think it might have been twice in that game or something like that. It felt like much more than you ever see it done. And you're like, how haven't we been called for it? We get called for everything. But yeah, that was good. How about that Benford interception? We talked about Sweet Sassy Malassi plays the game. What is like a, what were we going to call the games that the plays that sucked? We came up with a new name for them when you and I were talking on the phone the other day. It's like, remember that scene in Saving Private Ryan where the German that gets let go in the earlier scene then comes back to kill the guy like randomly, right? The no play of the game. It's so the play is in the movie Saving Private Ryan. If you haven't seen it, there's a play, there's a part where they let a German guy go. They have him digging his own grave at one point. He's like trying to get on their good side. He's like, Betty Boop, what a scoop, right? Like, he's trying to just talk English, any English that he knows, to try to save his life. And then I don't know if it was Tom Hanks or someone let him go. It's just like, he wasn't worth it. They let him run away, right? And then, of course, later on in the movie, at a different battleground, that guy ends up killing one of the guys in the group, right? Or in the 26th Infantry or whatever, right? Like, he ends up stabbing, and as he's like stabbing the guy through the heart, the guy who's getting stabbed is going, no, which is like, it's not funny that it probably didn't happen, but like, it's not funny that happened. But what's funny is that we would have that same response. Like, I could see myself doing that. I'd be like, no, this isn't real. Stop. We can stop this.
okay,
you win. Yeah. Okay, you win. You win. You can be my, I'll be your prisoner, whatever. We don't have to end it. Yeah. So the no play of the game was that Benford interception. Go ahead.
No, so it's either the Betty Boop save of the game or the no, dagger to the heart.
Dagger to the heart, yeah. No, Betty Boop play of the game, yeah. A play that really saved our asses on that one, yeah. Or the no play of the game, and that's that one goes to when Benford had that interception in the first quarter, but then it ended up getting called back for a holding penalty on him, and then after that, like, Terrell Bernard got injured on the same play, and you're just like, holy shit, like, what else can possibly go wrong for the Bills? Not only did they get the interception, they had a penalty called against them, so the other team, the Chargers, got the first down, and then your middle linebacker, who's playing, like, spectacularly this season, ends up going down, you know, with an injury. Luckily, like, it didn't end up costing the Bills anything. Cam Lewis had a sack on that, but like, at the time, you're just like, oh my gosh, like, just a series of unfortunate events, man.
Yeah, no doubt, so much happened on that one play.
No. So I post on Twitter, like, you know, does anyone have any hot takes? So I'm going to read a few. It's a little bit late for us, so I'm not going to read too many. I'm sure you guys are, if you're listening to this, it's a holiday weekend, so we're all busy going to family members, things or whatever. So, or trying to avoid them. But Buffalo Dill writes, Diggs, I ask for hot takes after every game on Twitter. So if you're following us at CTW Pod, please do check us out there. Buffalo Dill says, Diggs doesn't seem to have that dog in him anymore. I hate to say that, but he takes himself out of the game all the time, chilling with his helmet off on the sideline and shit. I just need to see one of those good old shake defender off and chest pound in front of him again. Mike, do you think it's more of like a, there's an issue with Stephon Diggs? Or like, maybe is it just the other teams are trying to scheme him out? Because it feels like sometimes it felt like Dorsey was forcing the ball to Stephon Diggs, but now it feels like they're kind of phasing him out a little bit. I don't know if that's a Diggs
thing. I don't know. Do you have any like inside information that I don't like?
Nothing that makes me
surprised to see him on the sidelines a couple times. But like in previous weeks, there'd be plays where he was, you would think he had no business going any farther and they turn into touchdowns.
Yeah. But that's been so long, it feels like, since he's had one of those plays. I mean, the first catch of the game that he had today, he looked like he got injured on. Like, he got his neck kind of twisted back, you know? So maybe that's part of it. I don't know. I agree with, I don't have the answer to what Buffalo Dill is saying, but I agree with him. Something's missing. Of course, we said that about, you know, Josh Allen a few weeks ago. We're like, maybe dating a Hollywood starlet is an issue. And then, like, you know, he bounces back and he's the same old Josh Allen, right? So it could just be a bad stretch. It could be that he doesn't have that dog in him, like Buffalo Dill is saying, and that could be an issue. Could be an issue. Yes, Nader says ugly, but every win counts at this point. Absolutely. Who cares? TL Wassup says coaches need to have to get these penalties cleaned up. Yes and no. I think just, you know, sometimes they're just one-sided. But yeah, I mean, some of these penalties are dumb. Holding on the returning team, just stuff like that. Just like, come on. Mike, I know this doesn't, we shouldn't be talking about this in the middle of a win, but I'm done with the special teams coach. Like, I just don't see any positives out of that group just enough. Besides the penalties, Deonte Hardy fumbling the ball. Like, the team just seems to be underperforming this year on that side of the ball. So like I posted on Twitter and people were like, well, we already got rid of the offensive coordinator. You want to get rid of the special teams coach and the defensive coordinator? I'm like, well, you know, maybe keep the defensive coordinator, but special teams coach, I'm not seeing the value there, you know?
Yeah, I can't disagree.
Rich Quotamine writes, we had no film on Easton Stick and dude played about as well as he could. They gave us everything and we won a conference game on the road. Some days it be like that. I like that, Rich. Some days, hey, Mike, some days it'd be like that, right? Eric Helwig writes, after having a great game plan on both sides of the ball against the Cowboys, it looked like they had no game plan on either side of the ball against the Chargers. It still feels like there's something wrong internally with this team. Yeah, I went in thinking this was going to be the hottest team going into the playoffs to like, they might get bounced the first round. I think any team in the AFC, though, it feels like could easily get bounced in the first round, so Miss Molly writes, ugly win, oof, but I noticed some tweaks to pass mistakes. Number one, oh, I like that she breaks this down. Number one, better clock awareness and greater plan regarding the situation. Number two, squib kick to take time off. Absolutely. Number three, meeting to remind absolutely no PIs that would lose the game. Number four, all DBs and two DBs. It was still crazy, but we won. She uses some emojis in there, so it's hard to kind of translate that, but great points by Miss Molly. I'm glad she broke it down like that. Nerdy Birdie is in. He says, forcing the ball to Diggs is getting old, leading to turnovers, and we need to run the ball more. I thought we had week one Josh for a second there, and we can't afford to have the deep ball. We can't afford to have deep ball hunter Josh. Joshua Howland writes, gotta secure the fucking football. Two fumbles is not acceptable. Yeah, no disagreements here. And if you're going to do that, you just got to actually cause some turnovers yourself to make up for it. They got 13 points off of turnovers. So Philip Masterson writes, I like this one a lot. A win is a win in December, regardless of how many heart attacks I had the past hour. That Ed Oliver contract is looking like a steal already. Dude, how many times do the Bills ever sign someone or extension or whatever, and you're like, they're actually playing better? Like, sometimes they're already playing well, so they just continue to play well. But Ed Oliver was playing well, but he's like playing way better than he ever has, it feels like. So that almost never happens, I'm pretty sure. By the way, I just saw that, like, on the sidebar, as I'm looking through all these great tweets, I saw that Von Miller is trending, so I kind of wanted to see what it was.
Don't you think the Ed Oliver extension got being a lot of flack, but certainly vindication over the past couple games this season?
Oh yeah, Absolutely. Almost feels like, not for nothing, like this whole season, he's played better. Like he's just been more of an impact. And that's even with Daquan Jones out. Yeah, 100%. Vindicated. I was skeptical of it. I didn't not like it, but I was like, oh, well, you know, we hope we can get better. You hope that's just not his ceiling. And he's proven, like, I mean, this is year five, right? Like he's beyond that. That usually doesn't happen. Mike Graham writes, Josh Allen needs to do better on deep balls. Diggs was wide open on that, man. You can't miss that, but I'll take the win. Just keep winning. Don't care how they do it. John Donahue writes, at this time of year, it's survive in advance. Short week, flying across the country, etc. Bengals got whipped by Pittsburgh. At least the Bills got the W. That's right. The Bills definitely got some help today by Pittsburgh to knock the Bengals down. Hold on. Let me see where the Bills are in the standings right now as of this game. Honestly, I haven't checked it. The Bills are 6, Mike.
Dude, I saw on Peacock, they were breaking it down on Peacock like it was election coverage.
Crazy. Crazy the Bills are 6.
Oh, you never told me how you watched it. Did you have find a Peacock?
Yeah. My sister-in-law has an account. We've had this for a couple years now. So, yeah, we're good. I was good.
Just glomming onto her?
Yeah, I like to glom every once in a while. I'm a fan of...
Yeah, when I sent out the bat signal in the chat, like, hey... Does anybody have Peacock? I just complete crickets. Like, okay. So that means everyone has it. They're just not able to share it or unwilling.
Well, what's funny is John just got it for this game. So he should have been the one to share. Because at least with me, it's like I don't really feel like it's okay for me to share.
If it's not yours.
It's not mine. It's not mine. But he just got it for this month. Like he could have like 3 or 4.
We're kind of pressing the envelope just with the Apple.
Yes. Yes, with the Apple. Yeah, because I'm sharing it with like 3 other family members and you. So like at any moment, I'm probably going to lose it. So with Peacock, it's the same thing. I'm sure my sister-in-law is sharing
it. Is the Apple yours or somebody else?
It's mine.
Okay. Well, what do you care?
No, I mean, I shared it with you.
It's awkward if you're sharing somebody else's. That's the bridge you can't
cross. Oh, yeah, true, exactly. That's why I didn't share my sister-in-law's Peacock account with you. But yeah, but John just, I asked John, I said, hey, do you want to come over and watch the game? I know it's late.
You're pretty coy about it, though.
Coy about what? Like the Peacock thing?
You weren't like, hey, I'm totally good.
Oh, no, no.
Because I have Peacock.
Well, I didn't. I felt braggy, you know? I didn't want to brag. Humble brag over here. Yeah. Well, I got mine, so I'm good. But you guys figured out.
$4.99 a month.
Oh, look at Nate. Look what he's got. $4.99.
It's smart. It was real smart of them not to do a free trial, though. I'll say that.
Mm.
I mean, you have to backdoor it through Instagram using Chase, but I mean, I thought I could just go to peacock.com, sign up for like Fubo. We've all signed up for Fubo like 10 different emails.
Yeah. All the emails I've ever had. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't figured it out yet or they did figure it out for Peacock, those bastards. So the Bills are 9-6. They're one of 3 9-win teams at this moment. Of course, the Jaguars haven't played. Like a lot of teams haven't played yet this week. So there could be some 9-6 teams, you know, after Sunday. Let's see. The Jaguars, the Colts, the Texans still play. So there could be, yeah, 3 9-6 teams. So yeah, Bills survive in advance. That's all that matters. Just like John Donahue said, right? Alex and her writes, I want more Shakir, a lot more Shakir. Yeah, agreed. I feel much better about our receiving core after Shakir. Of course, minus Diggs, whatever's going on with Diggs, but Shakir being on the roster helps out a lot, especially if they don't bring Gabe Davis back, which I expect they won't. Andrew Freeman wrote, Josh Allen did not play well in this game. Didn't seem like he took the Chargers very seriously. I really hope he remembers the last New England game next week or we're in for more trouble. That's what scares me the most about this next game, John or Mike, is that they play the Patriots, like another not so good team, but we're hoping that they don't play down to their level, right? Like this game. I think there's less of a chance. I mean, Belichick does seem to play well against the Bills. But that's just recently, and that's just this season. Usually the Bills handle the Brady-less Belichick Patriots pretty well. Let's see. Friends on the Bridge writes, we actually won a game in which we beat ourselves. Things are looking up. That's a good point. I like that. Be nice if the Bills not only won their division, they got in which they would get a home playoff game because of it, that they would need that, it feels like, at this point. So I think I'm going to end it on this. Justin Goddard, our buddy over at the Wandering Buffalo, says, not a hot take. Just want to let you know the Bills are terrible for heart health. The Bills are the opposite of Cheerios. That's awesome. Exactly. You know, I was talking in the Twitter space, like, you know, there's a Dolphins fan that came in. I'm like, hey, the Dolphins would have absolutely taken a 24-22 win against the Titans just a few weeks ago. Like, that's like, they would have been like, whoo, at least we got out of that. Instead, they lost by 1 point, and now they're fighting for their, you know, division, which they wouldn't have had to do. So let's hope for a loss against the Cowboys this weekend for the Dolphins, if not next weekend against the Ravens. Mike, is there anything else you want to add to this episode? I feel like we covered a lot.
No, it was fun.
It was fun. Cool. Thank you guys all for listening. Again, this episode is brought to you by the TwinSpire Sportsbook at DeLago at the DeLago Resort and Casino in Waterloo, New York. If you're driving down the thruway, it is exit 41 off the thruway. You can't miss it. You drive past it. You probably have driven past it. If you haven't noticed it, it's right there. So, hey, we're going to do our weekly giveaway real quick. This is for some people that have left us a review on our Circling the Wagons podcast feed, which you can find on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. If you leave us a review there or screenshot us one on Spotify or leave it on Apple Podcasts, you are automatically in the winning for the running to win one of our TeePublic Bill shirts that we have there on the store. We probably have over 250 designs at this point, but we've been doing it so far this season, and we're going to continue to do it for all those eligible. Just going to read a few recent reviews that were left by people. This one's from Aurora Borealis MT. Says, longtime listener, been listening for years and like this one for the friendly banter. Go Bills. So thank you to Aurora Borealis for that. So the winner for this week's t-shirt, Bill shirt, is Mass Bills. That's Mass Bills. You are the winner for this week's t-shirt, which, by the way, all of our t-shirts are on sale at $16. It's 35% off for the entire store. That's hoodies, t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, mugs, coffee mugs, cell phone cases, whatever you might like. Thank you guys for supporting us here this year. You guys have bought thousands of shirts from the beginning of this season till now, especially during the holiday season. We appreciate the heck out of you guys for doing that. Thank you guys all for listening. I appreciate you coming on. Hope you guys all have happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Enjoy the time with the family. If you do enjoy that, something, you know, don't get too political or anything, you know, whatever. One of the guys in the Twitter space, Big R in SD, was like, this win saved Christmas for us because it would have been a much more annoying weekend if the Bills had lost and they potentially lost their playoffs, you know, hopes because of that. So yeah, agreed. Gotta look at the bright side of it, you know, sometimes. So 'tis the season. So signing off for Mike.
Go Bills. See you next week.
And for me, Nate, go Bills. Thank you guys all for listening, and we'll talk to you guys again next week.
Let's go Buffalo! Hey, let's go Buffalo! Hey, let's go Buffalo! Find the sound in the parking lot. We got the tailgate down.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, Nate.
Well, listen, the whole show is called Circling the Wagons. Say no more. I love it.